Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are joining us on the live Facebook feed. We appreciate, again, the audience. We want to continue to get the show, obviously, exposed to as many people as possible. This is a podcast, so we'd love to have you download the podcast and listen to it at your convenience if you haven't already done so. We come to you Monday through Thursday. Today, Wednesday, must be our day with Mike D'Ambrosio.
Hey,
Mike.
Hey,
yo.
How's it going?
Two guys talking real estate. That is our slogan. That is
two Italian guys talking.
Two Italian guys. I keep leaving the Italian thing.
I know.
That's the most important thing.
It's a damn shame if you do that.
People are probably thinking two crazy guys talking real estate. That too. Follow us on Facebook. That's why we do the show right about this time. We try to stay consistent with that. For more information, you can go to reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, Monday through Thursday, we're doing four podcasts a week now. Monday on equity share programs, which are real exciting, and we'll continue to do those. Again, to download the podcast, you could go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Plus, any of those to get it, or go to our website at reradiolive.com. All right, so we're going to talk today about creative purchase options. In a market like this, again, Mike and I are going to talk a little bit about and hopefully educate and give you some ideas, you know, just get you thinking about the different options out there for purchases. And the reason why is because we're in this market right now that is taking a bit of a breather. It's a normal market. There's nothing to be alarmed. It just is a normal market. I think most people get a little paralyzed when things change.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is change is always good. You just have to understand the opportunities that present themselves. I'll say again, and most of you listening to me might say, Joe, you're just beating this thing to death. But I'll say it again because I really am serious about getting people the opportunity. Mike saw, all of us in this business saw hundreds and hundreds of people, and more than that, lose out on offers because it was just a crazy seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
So our point is, you know, if you are in the market or thinking about it, or if you're taking a breather or just saying I'm exhausted or I want to, you know, now is really a good time to get out because you could make offers. You actually get contingencies. You might be able to get some credit. You might be able to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't do that before. So that's really the reason. So what we want to talk about today are some kind of creative purchase options for people that maybe you're a little bit short. Maybe you want that house for $1 million, but you ran some numbers and you can only afford $900,000. So we'll talk about how we get you the $1 million. Maybe you don't have the down payment. And maybe you could get more of a house if you had 20%, you only have 10 or 5. So we're going to talk about those things. Before we do that, bring in our local expert, Mike
yeah.
D'Ambrosio. Tell us a little bit about the steam in the market. Is it steamy or
is it not kind of smoldery? It's not that steamy. It's well, I don't know what the other word for it is, but it's, smoldering might be a good one. But I think it's just, again, it's just leveling out
yeah.
a little bit. And we have over 2,000 active units mm-hmm. on, and this is in Santa Clara County, which we talk about, is that Silicon Valley, and we have over 2,000 units. I think it's 2,005 as of
mm-hmm.
yesterday, and so about 1,400 of those are single families, and the rest are condos, townhouses, mobile homes, whatever.
Got it.
And again, I want to reiterate that the reason why we're seeing what we're seeing, or part of the reason, outside of maybe rising interest rates and other mm-hmm. external factors. But the big reason is because last time this year and early and into December and early January, we had 200 total units for the entire county of Santa Clara.
Amazing.
I just want to remind people how big of a county Santa Clara is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking all the way down to Gilroy, as south as Gilroy, north to Milpitas,
yep.
west
right.
to Palo Alto
yep.
or in Los Altos, and then
right.
and then the East Foothills is the other border.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it's a huge county. To have only 200 homes for sale in that entire area, in I think it was January,
right.
was like the 2nd of January mm-hmm. is when the number was the lowest I'd ever seen it in the history of me being in real estate
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other even older veterans of real estate had seen. So now we're we're above 2,000, which is a number that we haven't hit the last few years at the height either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last few years at the height of the market when it's springtime, summer,
right,
have been 1,400, 1,500, 1,600, maybe 1,700.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing the 2,000 plus. I think this year it got as high as 2,200 or 2,300, when again, between 2,000 and 3,000 is where we need to be quote-unquote normal.
Right.
And when the market was in the tank, it was over 6,000, almost 7,000. So that shows you where we've come from today. And it's still relatively low amount of inventory in the grand scheme of things,
mm-hmm,
but now there is more opportunities for buyers to make a decision, make a choice.
Right.
And I mean, I have a listing right now. I'll put it out there on the podcast,
go ahead.
I have one that's sat out there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
From a pricing perspective, I think we're the best value in the zip code we're at from a price per square foot and a price point. And my sellers really, they're not willing to do much more on the price,
mm-hmm,
so it is what it is. But the point I'm trying to make is people are, they can be choosy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that if that's even the right word.
They have options.
They have options. Choosy options. Cheesy options. But the point I'm trying to make is I'm hearing things as a listing agent, because I mainly work on listings, is that, you know, we're looking at a couple different options. I wasn't hearing that sentence before.
Right.
Early on in the year or even the past few years. And it's been easy as a listing agent the past few years. People were coming to you.
Yeah.
Now it's like we have to proactively reach out to agents, get the feedback,
mm-hmm,
see what's going on. And again, it's a normal thing. The days on market are still under 30 days in the county, which if you look at the rest of the country, we're still ridiculously high,
mm-hmm,
or low amount of days on market.
Right.
You know, the thing is, no one is feeling sorry for us here. And frankly, no one has if you're a seller out there and you've owned your house for at least 5 years, no one's feeling sorry for you right now either from a profit standpoint. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity. And we're going to talk a little bit about some options that you may or may not know about. But so we're going to kind of walk through some of the things that may take away some objections. Let's say someone, Mike, one of the first things was like, let's say someone, we discussed this, I think, several weeks ago. Let's say you have a rate concern. You know, there's people out there, mm-hmm, they're going, Joe, gosh, you know, rates are up more than 1% or so over the last year or so, which is true. But historically speaking, if you could still get 30-year money right around 5% today,
mm-hmm,
I mean, you know, obviously depending on credit scores and down payment and stuff, but in general, if you meet those criteria, you're going to get 30-year money right around 5% fixed for 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, put that in perspective. You can't see a chart as we talk, but do yourself a favor and go on any website and look at the history of the rates, interest rates, a chart, and you'll see where 5% fares, and it fares really, really well over the last 40 years.
It does. Again, the spoiled factor there, too. When was it when the rates were like three in the high threes?
Well, they got as low as 3 3/8 on 30-year money back in, I don't know how long, several years.
16, 15?
Yeah, it might have been 2 or 3 years ago.
I mean,
ago,
come
yeah.
on, you guys. That's ridiculous. And so there's a spoiling
yeah,
factor
it's
there.
True.
I want to take it a little bit further on the whole rate conversation, because we live in an area that people are, I've noticed, at least a lot of the buyers are very, very price sensitive on rate,
mm-hmm,
to the tune of like hammering people like
yeah.
yourself for an eighth or a quarter of a point. And then they're going to these big outfits that don't have jack diddly for service.
Right.
And it's all about the service you get with a guy like Joe, or, you know, it really is important, especially when you're getting to these competitive markets for the deal,
mm-hmm,
to make the deal happen. So think about this eighth that you're trying to save,
right,
as opposed to not getting a house at all. Because I can tell you one thing, most listing agents are looking at the lender too through the process, and
mm-hmm,
if they know they can get the deal done, that's
right,
very important to them.
Yeah.
If they know that this is a big outfit or someone that's just an unknown or whatever, that plays
yeah.
a part in it too. So
it does. It's really, really important in a market like this. But these rates, we just want to, just for a minute or so, we don't let those deter you or concern you, because, you know, look at it this way. If they could go up a little bit further, and they could. And this is what I always tell people too. I mean, lock in now. Do something now, when I say lock in, a purchase or a property, and you won't regret it. I don't know anybody that ever owned a home, Mike. I really don't. I'm not just saying this, you know. I mean, for more than 5 to 7 plus years, right?
Yeah.
Then they weren't forced to sell it for some reason, didn't have to, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that would say, gosh, that was a bad decision. I mean, when you look at where you live, the appreciation, the tax benefits, home ownership, mm-hmm. in general, just emotionally and psychologically.
We all need a roof over our head,
we
too.
Do. And, yeah. you know, I think we get, you know, people have owned homes for so long, we take it for granted. But it is a wonderful feeling, emotionally and psychologically, for a person, a family, a couple, whatever it is, that it's your own home.
Yeah.
There's a really,
it's
I mean,
a big deal.
I don't think we talk about that enough.
No, we don't.
The feeling,
yeah.
I mean, we're kind of jaded because we've been doing this so long, we've owned property so long.
Are you jaded?
I am.
Yeah.
Of course, I have a lot more years on Mike, so I'm jaded with more gray hair. So.
Well, I got less hair, so I had a full head of hair when I started selling real estate. Now that's gone. So
quite the combination. Yeah. No hair and gray hair.
But yeah, I agree with you. And the whole 5 to 7 years thing mm-hmm. you'd mentioned, I mean, when people ask me as a real estate agent for my opinion on the investment that they're mm-hmm. making, because it's an investment, and what I think is going to happen, obviously, we don't have a crystal ball. I mean, I've said that line plenty of times, and if I did, you and I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast
right now.
But the point is that my answer is, if you're planning on owning the house for 5, 7, 8 mm-hmm. years, it is most likely going to be a very good investment.
Yeah.
Only those other factors you mentioned, like they're forced to sell or they get a job relocation, it's really hard to make a profit on a property if you sell it within a really short amount of time, unless
right.
you're flipping the house and
right.
you're, you know, putting money into it and whatever. It's really hard to do that. So I think if you look at the timeline, you know, over the past few decades, if you invest in real estate and you hold on to it for that 5 to 7 year range, mm-hmm. you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break for the podcast, but stick with us for those that are watching us on Facebook. We're going to come right back. And when we come back, we're going to get into the details of the creative options for purchases. We're going to talk about a number of different things that you may or may not know about. When we come back, this is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Stick with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction, real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. BundleSelect's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling real estate, lending, and title services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. I'm here to tell you BundleSelect.com is the best way to save money on real estate. By bundling services, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. This savings model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with the national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker License Number 0046669.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. We are in studio today with Mike D'Ambrosio, two Italian guys talking real estate every Wednesday.
Hey-o.
Every Wednesday. Maybe what we should do is do some contests and different giveaways and stuff, Mike, when we're on live radio.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I know it's podcast, a little bit different and weird, but not weird. Don't take that the wrong way. Weird in the sense that you don't live communicate with people live
yes.
like we did on the live radio.
I understood what you meant by that.
You know, maybe we should do some giveaways still on the podcast, do some different things, some pizzas or maybe some Italian food, or maybe invite them over for another event at Giorgio's.
Yeah, we can do one at Giorgio's. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say I'll throw it out there right now. If you live in the Bay Area and you submit a topic for one of our podcasts and it wins,
okay.
then I'll give you a free large pizza at Giorgio's.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good value right there.
Can I get
best
that?
Pizza.
What if I submit a topic?
Yeah. You don't count.
It's good pizza. Yeah. Believe me, I love it. All right. So we're going to get into the details of some creative purchase options now in the last part of this segment of this podcast. So some of the things that people are challenged with that Mike and I see in the market are the following. One, you might have someone that says, gee, you know, I ran the numbers, Joe, and whether it was with me or someone else, and looks like we can only afford $900,000. Maybe we're putting 20% down, right? That's kind of one of the things. And then another one is down payment. You know, I just don't have more than 5%. I just don't have more than 10%. So what kind of options do you have with that? The other one is qualifying, too. We just said qualifying. But there's some different ways to be creative and get qualifying. So let's talk about that first.
And Mike, I would say before you start, too, is the paralysis of starting the process.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think they can do anything, and therefore they never talk to anybody about it. And we've talked about this a lot on the show and all the shows we've done together. The paralysis of starting the process, that's important to get past.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's free.
And it's free, yeah. Why not? You know what?
Sit down with a nice guy like me? Come on. What else would you ask for?
You call yourself nice? Yeah, no, I was kidding.
Behind the screens. No, but Mike's right. You know, just get past that first hurdle. And there's no cost to sit down and get pre-approved and really fill out what you could afford. So let's dive in and talk a little bit about you're to a point, again, for an example, you're at $900,000, you're qualified to $900,000, but you just can't stretch it. In other words, you're figuring, God, you know, we're seeing these homes for $1 million. It's really perfect. It's got the extra room, the bathroom, or whatever. So let's talk about some different things you could do to potentially qualify for more. One thing you could do is we could discuss about buying down the rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it's a purchase transaction we're looking at, we could either, with the interest rate, you could buy down with additional money you have. We could strategically look at that. Also, in a market like this, remember, Mike and I have talked about it before, there's a good chance that you can negotiate some seller's credit for the buyer so that you could use that to buy down the interest rate.
Yeah, especially now.
Right.
It's possible.
It's possible. So these are some of the things you could do to qualify for more money. Also, I know a lot of people are nervous about this, but a lot of people will get approved on a 30-year fix. And let's just say, for instance, Mike, 30-year fix at 5%, right? So then one of the things you could look at is, let's just say this is your first home. It's more than likely, if it's your first home, it's either a, I don't want to call it a starter home, but it's a beginner home. And there could be, in 5 to 7 years, maybe you start a family, maybe you need more room, maybe you want to move out and rent, whatever. My point is, a lot of times I'll have a discussion with people about ARMs.
Yeah.
Right?
I just went through it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did one myself. And
Save several hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, and we know we're not going to be in our current house as our starter home, you know. And we know we're not going to be there forever, so we did the 7-1 ARM,
right?
And we love it, and everything's going great, you know?
Yeah, so that's one of the options. So, for instance, let's say you're at 5% and, you know, you're capped at a $900,000 purchase. Well, we could look at a maybe a 5, a 7-year ARM, and could be, again, for example, instead of 5, maybe you're at 4.5 or 4.75. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but depending on your loan amount, it could be several hundred dollars a month, and it could be the difference of whether you could qualify or not. So that's another option, is that.
And the other thing is, and I don't mean to make it seem like it's the end of the world if you reach that end of that ARM either. I mean, because it's not. We were just talking about this too. I mean, you could always refi, or if you end up staying in that house, it's not like, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like at the end of that term, you have to all of a sudden pay it off. That's not it at all. It's not a balloon payment, just so everybody understands. Those ARMs, you could refinance at any time during that cycle. Or, you know, depending on the market, I remember for years I let my properties, I let the ARMs go adjust. Most people did for years because the interest rates were so low and they're wonderful. So that's another option, looking at a different program to potentially do that. The other one that a lot of people forget about, and you'd be surprised at how many people want to help you, parents, maybe siblings, whatever, is you could get someone to go on the loan with you to help you qualify. So what does that look like? So if, let's say, again, we're looking at a $900,000 purchase. You really want to get to $1 million plus, but you only have so much income. So what we could do is we add someone, and they're qualified as a non-occupant co-borrower, right? So you're the occupant. It's your primary resident. And let's say we just bring on a parent or parents, and they help you qualify. In other words, they include their income and helping you qualify. And so we also have to take an application from them. But here's the good news. You know, they help you qualify, and you might be able to, and a lot of parents, a lot of people are happy to do that.
Yeah. I love the non-occupying co-borrower idea. And here's one I wanted to ask you, and I've got this recently, is I don't have 20% for the conventional loan.
Yeah.
People always associate with conventional loan 20%. Get that out of your head for crying out loud. So talk on that a little
especially
bit.
Especially now. I'm glad you brought that up. So, yeah, obviously 20% is great, but so is 25, so is 30, so is 40. Where do you stop, right?
So is cash.
Yeah. But remember, you could depending on your status, okay, if you're a veteran, by the way, if you are out there listening, thank you for serving and thank you for what you do day in and
absolutely.
Day out and the sacrifices you make. But thank God there are wonderful financing options for veterans.
As there should be.
Yeah, 100% financing if you're a veteran or active or non-active military, right? So then we jump to FHA.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3.5% down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does come with mortgage insurance. But you guys, if you're just getting to a home for the first time and you want to get that going and get started, that's a great program. It was designed for first-time home buyers.
Yep.
Then you have programs with 5% down, one loan. And again, there's MI, there's mortgage insurance built in with that.
That's considered conventional.
Conventional.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you go to 10% down. So
you
do have some options on 10% down, Mike. You still could do one loan. If you do one loan with 10%, typically that comes with mortgage insurance. It's built into the rate.
So it's a 90-10.
Yeah.
90% can finance. Okay.
Right. Then a lot of times what we've done, we do with people, is we do what's called 80-10-10, right?
Yeah.
So,
it's a good one.
So you put your money down, you put your 10%. And you do an 80% first, and then you do a 10% second. So you do a small second.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why a lot of people do that is to avoid the mortgage insurance.
Yeah, that's a really popular program, isn't it?
It is.
Around here?
Very,
definitely.
Very much it is. And the idea is, too, the second is smaller. So you do, that's one of the first things you look to do is to wipe out or pay off the second down the road, or you consolidate when you build your equity or appreciation in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So 10% down. 15% down, same thing. So what Mike and I are talking about here is please don't let the media or people or someone talk you into saying, gosh, you know, I can't get into a home because I don't have 20%. It's not true. It's just not true. Matter of fact, I could tell you thousands and thousands of stories that people have, you know, when they get started in real estate are extremely successful right now and own all kinds of pieces of real estate. And the first couple they bought was very little down.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everybody has a bunch of money to put down on a house.
So that was probably back when you could roll a commission into a down payment.
That's right.
And do that too.
That is true.
One other thing that, I mean, we could even do a whole show on this is building your own home as well.
That's a good point. We never did that.
And in talking about down payments, now that is definitely, if you're buying land,
mm-hmm.
that's definitely a higher down payment
program.
And then you have construction financing and all that, and then you can wrap that into a permanent loan. But that's a really interesting play if you have the time and you have the patience and the wherewithal to do that. Building your own home is potentially something that you could do to build in and walk into your house with equity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is if you get the land at a great price, you build and you hold the costs at the right price, it could potentially appraise and you could walk into your new home, your dream home, with even equity too. So that's a interesting play. But the reason I bring that up is that's like a type of loan program for land where you definitely need the higher payment, whereas with conventional, everyone always associates it with 20%, but you just illustrated that that's false.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the last thing that I'll kind of summarize on the income part or qualifying, having a tougher time qualifying, would be, we talked about this before, Mike, but you could bring in a parent, for example, and use the assets to pledge down payments or use another property. Let's say your parent has a property they own free and clear in San Francisco. It's a rental, right?
Yeah.
And we could help you get more down payment by leveraging. We've talked about these cross-collateral loans before. Your parents could help you with that, too. It's a little more involved, but I'm telling you, it's not that difficult to understand. The idea, what we're trying to do today is really get the point across, is it's all kinds of creative ways you could buy homes and try not to let people get that negativity synced in. That just, there's a lot of, unfortunately, that's just what sells. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to be negative. Unfortunately, it's the way it is. You have to be dramatic. The bottom line is there's
don't
a lot
be
of,
a drama queen.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities out there for sure to do that. So let's talk a little bit before we finish up on, you know, what other options people have for down payments. We talked about, you know, if you're short qualifying, right, if you don't have the income, what some of the things you could do. Let's talk a little bit now. So let's say you're in a situation where, you know, you make good income and you pretty good income. You're okay there, but you're trying to stretch. But maybe, you know, in order to stretch, in order to get the house you want, or maybe the situation for financing, you'd love to have additional down payment, more money. And again, it could be someone with 5% trying to get to 10. It could be someone to 10 trying to get to 15. 15 trying to get to 20. I have a client right now that they wanted to put 10% down on a $1.7 million purchase. And we ran the numbers and they just weren't quite there. So now they're getting a $50,000, $60,000 gift from family members.
Gifts are nice.
Gifts are nice, especially those gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are really good.
Exactly. Well, don't expect that from me for Christmas this year, Joe. But and those are not uncommon in the Bay Area because a lot of people make really good incomes and have only for a short, maybe, you know, shorter amount of time, and they can qualify, but they can't save the down payment. And so gifts are a really good resource for that.
Yeah, and I know I'm not, you know, the walking statistic for this, but I do quite a bit of business, and I've been in here, this business, for 20 years. And I could tell you that over the last year or so, we've been tracking this, and about 30%, I know in 18 for sure, and 17 was about the same, almost 30% of the purchases I did had some kind of gift funds.
Yeah.
Some kind of funds from parents, gift funds, equity, you know, something to do with helping them get into that home.
I mean, so that was just you, an individual.
Right.
Imagine all the other lenders, loan officers in the Bay Area. I would imagine it's probably around along the same lines.
I would think.
Definitely. So, yeah, that's a good, it's a good option.
Yeah, so gift funds, keep that in mind. That is one option if you have parents, aunts, uncles, someone that's willing to do something with you. And I'll say the other thing, you know, you could get creative with this too. And what I mean is you might have someone that says, hey, listen, I'll do that. I'll loan you the money, or I'll give you gift funds. But then maybe you strike a deal that, you know, there's some kind of ownership or partnership in that property.
Equity
too.
Share.
Whatever you do outside of escrow is on your own. In other words, if someone's willing to gift you money and, you know, you want to have an outside partnership that says you're doing something else with that property, that's all up to you. I mean, the bottom line is there are a lot of different ways to do this, a lot of different ways to do this. The other thing that I've seen before that I think a lot of people forget about, you could gift equity.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised we don't see that more often. Maybe we'll start to see it more often, but you could also gift equity. And I've seen that happen before, typically with parents, again, with someone, grandparents, with a child or siblings or whatever. That's been kind of interesting. You have some of those situations that take place.
Just getting creative. I mean, that's really the key to success here. And don't be afraid of it.
Right.
Don't be afraid of a creative solution to help you achieve your real estate goals.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention before we close out today is that, you know, we talked to Mike before, and I know we do a show on Mondays. Most of you know they're following the show on this equity share program, right? It's becoming more and more popular because of obvious reasons. So I just found the other day an investor that goes behind just one investor now. So what they will do, let's say you're purchasing, you know, in this case, the client was purchasing a $1.5 million home. They had 10% down. We could do an 80% first with this one investor, and then this equity share company called Unison, and they only work on our side, on an investment side, and they're testing the program, so it's only with one investor, and this is really cool. They will do the equity share on a down payment purchase, and I haven't seen this before. It's the first time I've seen it. So in this case, let's say it's $150,000 represents 10%. So the client comes up with 10%. Unison comes up with the other 10% of the $150,000, right?
Yeah.
No payments. You don't qualify for the $150,000. So there's no qualifying for it. No payments. But you enter into a contract with this company, this investor, that then you share equity in that home. For a minimum, you got to keep that loan. I shouldn't say loan. It's actually a program for 3 years. So let me give you an example. Let's say it's $150,000, no payments. You don't pay any money on it. And then at the end of 3 years, let's say you decide to sell the home, move out, refinance, whatever. You have to pay them the $150 back plus 35% of the equity portion of when the time you bought that house till that three-year period or whenever you exercise it. So let's say you had a $100,000 gain in 3 years, and you went to sell that home. So you'd have to pay them their $150 back plus $35,000.
Right.
Right. And that would be, that's for the investment. But remember, you didn't have a single payment for 3 years. And it was easier to qualify because they don't factor that money in on qualifying.
Yeah, and you may have not even gotten the house.
That's my point.
Because of it, yeah.
Now, is this for everybody? No.
No, I don't think so, but right? It's a good option, creative
Never
option
know.
For the right person.
Someone really wants a place, and they're thinking, oh, my God, I'd love that place, but I can't do it. How do I do it?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So
very interesting.
The reason we bring these things up is because, unfortunately, most people in our business really are very single-minded. They're very narrow-minded in the way they think, and I don't mean that as a judgment, Stace, as much as obvious that, you know, a lot of people don't treat this like a business. Mike and I have talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do your research and every day you're living and breathing this market and understanding, what we try to do is find better ways, more creative ways to get people in homes, sell homes, buy homes. That's what we do. So there's a lot of different options out there. Please, please, please don't let people bring in that negative information right now or the negative mindset, because a lot of great opportunities exist.
Absolutely. No, good stuff.
Anything?
Good show.
Final up? Wrap up?
That's a lot of information. I'm even like, my brain's hurting right now.
We try to teach you something every day.
That's right.
The goal, right?
Education,
try to learn something.
Information, baby.
Information, education. All right, so if anybody wants real estate more, if you want to contact Mike, throw out your information if someone wants to reach you.
My website, MikeDSells.com or 408-630-0101.
Right. You know to reach me, RERadioLive.com. Shoot me an email, call me anytime. Until next week, thanks again for checking in. Thanks for those that are watching us, following us on Facebook. Lastly, please be sure to download the podcast, RERadioLive.com. Thanks again. Take care. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.